I just love the one where he's like getting into it at first. He's like, okay, yeah, we got some. Oh, until you started singing. Welcome to the What's Up Reddit podcast. We fashion ourselves cinematic judge and jury. My name is JJ Cronin. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Sennheiner.
Better red than dead.
And Alec Burgess.
Let's get it.
We appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead and hit that follow, subscribe, like, bell notification buttons. Hit all those buttons. It'll help you keep up with all of our upcoming episodes and what we have out already. It also helps grow the podcast, which we appreciate. You know what else helps grow the podcast? Telling your friends and family members about us. Telling a future rock star or failed rock star or current rock star about us or just a musician. Those work too. But yeah, tell everybody. Help us. We appreciate it. We also appreciate our sponsor, Manscaped. And they want to let you know, yo, what's up, fellas? Spring break's knocking on the door, and you know it's time to upgrade that below-the-belt game. The real flex this year is keeping your boys downstairs fresh and clean. Nobody wants to be the guy with a pube fiesta. That's why our buddies at Manscaped created the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This guy right here. The ultimate weapon to tame those unruly bushes. Before you hit that pool party, make sure your boys are groomed to perfection. Join the Manscaped Revolution by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code THEVERDICT, all one word. Mattson, I understand that you have another masterpiece for Manscaped for us.
I did. Wrote this poem. On St. Patrick's Day, under the springtime sun, a redhead dances. His break has begun. With laughter and cheer, he joins the parade. In emerald hues, the city is arrayed. Spring break is here, the world in bloom. Winter's chill has left the room. On sandy beaches under palm shades, with Manscaped's lawnmower, his plans are laid. A redhead's charm, a fiery delight. In the springtime sun, a radiant light. With Manscaped's aid, he stands so brave. A dance with the lawnmower, the look he craves. St. Patrick's cheer, spring break's fun blend, a redhead's journey, the rules he'll bend. Ooh, saucy. With Manscaped lawnmower, he finds his groove. In the rhythm of spring, he makes his move.
Oh, he just roared. Amazing. That might be your freaking masterpiece, dude. That was special right there.
I'd like to thank my 12th grade English teacher, Mrs. Edie. Paid off.
I don't know if you should thank Mrs. Edie.
Don't shame Mrs. Edie, dude. Like, that's fucked up. I love it, dude. That was epic. I love too, like, you have some repeat tones in there. You get that fire and fiery delight. That's
it. Afternoon delight.
It's a carried in theme. I like it. So if you like good poetry or if you just need to trim your balls, go check out manscaped.com. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code THEVERDICT. Again, at manscaped.com, that's 20% off plus free shipping with the code THEVERDICT. Manscaped, for when you want to be caught with your pants down around your ankles. So with that, let's jump into our movie. We're continuing in March. Our month of hidden gems. It is the final movie in this topic. Thanks to
in a real hidden gem. Just might I add.
I think so. I mean, I'm a little biased because it's my film, but my pick. But I think so. And that movie is Begin Again. It was released July 11th, 2014. It was written. Oh, there we go. Written and directed by John Carney. It stars Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, Adam Levine, Haley Steinfeld, James Corden, Yasin Bey, Karen Pittman, Paul Romero, and Catherine Keener. It is about a chance encounter between a down-and-out music business executive and a young singer-songwriter new to Manhattan. It turns into a promising collaboration between the two talents.
Wow. That's actually one of the best movie synopsises that IMDb has correctly written.
That's true. Well, it is. You know what the movie's about now.
Unlike many of the ones we read.
Sometimes you're like, that's not at all what this movie's about, but that one was really accurate. So well done, IMDb finding. Yeah, I'm really interested. I will say that this one is, to me, one of a few that I can, that I truly consider 100% a hidden gem. I mean, if I'm being honest in my criteria, even Runaway Jury, my pick earlier this month, was less of a hidden gem than it could have been. But this one's it. Like, and I only found this because Casey was on one of her, I want to watch something new binges. And so she like randomly was scrolling through, I don't know if it was Amazon or Netflix at the time. I'm sure it was Amazon, but she's just randomly scrolling through movies and saw Mark Ruffalo, saw Keira Knightley, saw James Corden, like all people that she likes, was like, read the synopsis about this movie, the music stuff. She goes, I'm going to watch this. And 90% of the time she does that. And I fucking go, God damn it. I'm about to watch some shit. But this one I was like watching going, this is really good. And I really, really enjoy this film. So I'm excited to hear what you guys think about it.
I've already told at least 10 people to watch this movie. I really liked it. I mean, I'll just come out and say it. Like, this is an amazing movie. I'm really glad I was introduced to this movie. I will already be watching this movie again. This movie made me feel a lot of things, as I think it was designed to do. And I'm just really surprised more people haven't seen this movie, because it's very, very well done. But I won't put the cart before the horse, but I'm curious to get Alex's gut check. But I love this movie.
You already know, out of all the movies we watched, this was my least favorite, but that's because of the type of movie it is. I love musicals. I can't sit through movies about music.
I did not know that about you, sir.
Movies about music are hard for me, to get through. Like, another good example is Disney's Soul, or Pixar's Soul, that came out. A lot of people really love it. I can't.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like
movies about music. I can't do. I don't know why. It's a me problem.
Sure. Well, JJ, on that note, we might as well just pull Alec out and give him some time back here.
I bet he has some redeeming qualities about the film that he likes. Because while it is about music, I think what stands out to me is like the character interactions, like to me, and we've talked about this in other ways before with other movies, where you have a movie that's about something, right? And it's so focused on that something that everything around it loses a little bit of attention or focus. And so you're like, it detracts. But this is a movie about a bunch of characters around the music business, right? And their interactions and their growth and the learning. And I really, really enjoy that. Because I care about these characters at the end. I mean, even down to like the wife or the ex-wife, who you're not supposed to like for most of the movie, the daughter who's in it, just kind of like, you know, it all of a sudden pops up and how it becomes this major, but it's a huge turning point for, you know, Mark Ruffalo's character. I just really enjoy the stories intermixed with the one big story.
Who's the late night co-host that he's in this? What's his name?
James Corden.
I mean, he really impressed me. I got to be honest. I was like, I just didn't think he had that kind of acting chops. I mean, he wasn't in this movie a crazy amount, but when he was in it, like, he really forwarded the narrative and created a lot of the connection between Ruffalo and Keira Knightley's character and just the synergy there. And I think that's what it comes down to, me, is just all these individuals, the synergy, except Adam Levine to an extent. I mean, I'm not here to say, if I had to pick one person that really didn't jump out on screen, it's clearly him, except for when they put him in what he does best and play the damn music. I mean, that scene was, it couldn't have been better, because that's what he's best at. But yeah, in terms of his acting, making me feel for what was happening, he was the one that I'd be like, yeah, like, could have had a real actor there, but then he hit a home run on the other aspects of it. But everyone else, like, it all, and I think that's what was the beauty to me. That's what this movie is about, coming together to make this awesome album. But all these actors and the story, it just felt like it was a hodgepodge that just got thrown together, and it worked so well. And I was so worried in this movie, Tay and I were watching, with Ruffalo's character. I should remember what's his actual character's name?
Dan.
And then the Keira Knightley's character, Greta. When Dan and Greta, I started to get super worried during the iPod scene, where they're doing what he and his then separated wife did, to knew they liked each other, walk around the city listening, not really talking. And then you could tell, like, they were starting to allude. He was starting to get the feels. He was leaning into that was happening. And I turned to Tay, and Tay said the same thing. He's like, no, please don't make this Hollywood. Don't do it. Don't make us hate this movie. Because I would have, if that happened, that would have totally crushed the movie for me. Absolutely. Yeah. Just that I would have poo-pooed all over this thing. Because I didn't want that to happen. Because it didn't, that would have felt like something Hollywood wanted us to be like, oh, this is so cool. I'm like, but that's not really real life. Like, let's be honest. It's not going to happen. It shouldn't happen. Probably, like, he's way old, like all those things. And I was so happy it didn't happen, but it kept me on my edge for a little bit. Cause I was worried, but when it didn't, it made me so happy because everything that I wanted to like about this movie still was there. And he even got a little bit better at the end.
Agreed.
But I was worried, very worried for a little bit. They're worried enough where I almost texted both of you, but then it happened. I was like, oh, please. Because it would have been the answer for me. If it happened, I don't think you like this movie that much.
No, I've had that conversation too. And for me, it wasn't like the moment when they were sharing the music. Like, it was after that. I think after the, I don't remember. There was a moment where there was like a silence between the two of them and they were staring at each other. And I was like, I swear to God, if they kiss, I'm going to lose my shit. That was the moment. Like, to me, like, the listening to music was him more trying to fill that void of the fact that he still loved his wife and hated the way that everything ended.
Well, it was
there.
Still building up because they got back to the apartment. And thankfully, I just knew, I was like, oh no, like, this is, they're hitting the culmination point of, they've already, I know the scene you're talking about. I think it was earlier, but I was like, if it's going to happen now, they're going to do it right here. Please don't do this.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was very glad that they didn't. And
I would have hated it because it would have just been so Hollywood. It would have been so like, no, I don't need another movie like this because that's not what this movie was. They showed the down and out, like all the crappy things that can happen to someone. It played to that being real. I was like, this, you need to stay to what you've been.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't like, we've talked about this too. I don't like a forced love story. And for me, like, that's all it would have been was to get a love story in there, or some sort of like sexual tension that for me, I was like, isn't needed. Like, these are two people that probably are very, they're not probably, they're very lonely and she's broken and he's all sorts of fucked up. But like, and the only thing I will disagree with you on is I think in real life, a lot of people like that will come together in that situation and hook up and have even more complications in their lives. But I'm glad they didn't lean into that in this movie because it would have contradicted the whole title.
I guess it was just the age difference. Like that was the more so and I know it still happens, but I was like,
See that part didn't bother me. I just think it would have been it would have been lazy writing to me. Like, we had the sex story. Okay, whatever. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, he's much older than her, but I was like, that never bothered me. It was more like the storytelling. But again, it goes against the title. It's beginning end. Like, this is about people starting over in whatever way that might be. And it's throughout the whole pretty much film. I mean, you got Keira Knightley's character, even James Corden's character is getting some boost because now he's got contacts in the music business and the guy's standing out playing in New York in Central Park for nothing. Like, all of these characters are starting again. The daughter's reinventing herself, the mom's realizing the mistake and she can bounce back from that mistake and still have fun with her kid and her ex-husband, whether they get back together or not. Like, all of those things to me, if they had hooked up, it would have detracted from the whole point of the movie. And that is that you can bounce back from shitty things. And that's, yeah. So that's why I agree with you for sure. I'm glad they didn't go there. I will say the other person that bothers me in this movie, though, is CeeLo Green. Like, I can even deal with what's his face, but CeeLo Green in it, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's so bad. Like, he cannot act. And I think, I don't know if he was involved in the film or what, or if it was because he and Adam Levine were on The Voice together at the time. And so he's like, grab CeeLo, he'll be a good fit. I don't know. But, like,
it didn't bother me, his characters, much because it just felt like he was being him and that's what I've seen him be like. And so I was like, oh, but then with Adam Levine, I know Adam, or at least what I know, and he's like on these reality shows. And I was like, no, he's really trying to act here.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. Where CeeLo Green to me, I was like, it's just, he's coming across like I've seen him and everything else.
Yeah.
And so it didn't bother me as much, but Adam Levine, there are points where like, I was supposed to feel the emotion that he was going through as becoming famous and moving on, all that. And it never, those scenes just, it was never there for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I get it.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but I definitely, like, anytime those things happen, I was like, nah, like, you're not, I'm not feeling what you need me to feel.
Yeah, no, I know why they used him, because he's, like you said, during the performance parts, and he wrote the song that's like the theme song for it. So,
and
like,
the song's amazing. Let's be honest. Yeah. Great song.
Oh yeah. Love that song. But like, yeah, he's not believable and CeeLo's not believable. Like, I just am like, ugh, whatever. Like, it's just, and I think for me, the CeeLo part bothered me because it just seems so out of place. Like, I like the fact that they had this artist that was thankful to him and was willing to go out on a limb. It just was like, he's floating around in the pool. And I'm like, I can't take this fucking guy serious. I just can't.
One thing this movie does really well, though, that I hadn't seen, is I'm so used to montages and like sports movies kind of thing. I'm trying to think what time I've seen like a musical montage. Maybe I just don't watch enough of the movies like this, but I really, it just felt like warm and fun. I feel like they almost had like two or three montages in this, but I liked all of them. I loved all of them. Like, I just gobbled them up, ate them up. I was like, this is so great. And some of them were so funny. Like,
oh, yeah.
Where they had like
run from the best. Yeah, and they're running from the cops.
And then Rafal makes a comment later when they're on the skyscraper to that drum. He's like, they play louder. No one's getting us up here. But then later that dude, the neighbor, like yells at him. I'm like, oh, it's so great. Like,
15 minutes. Shut up.
There's just so many like little things. And I it made me think as movies, like, why haven't more people done an album like this? And I'm sure they have, in that like raw, gritty way. But I was like, that's ingenious. Like, you should do that. That makes you want to, makes you feel that it's so much more than a song. It's like a place. It's a thing. It's, that's what the beauty of music is. It makes you feel things or whatever it is. And I guess a lot of what this movie did for me is I felt like I was going through their journey, and it did it in the best way possible for me.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. Was that your only beef, Alec, was that it was about music?
No, but the other one is going to make me sound bad.
I mean.
Well, so, and this is once again a me problem.
Sure.
There are two actors in this world that I hate, and there's no reason for my hate. I just hate them. One is Josh Gad. The other is James Corden. Anything that they are in at any point in time, I have no reason for it. I just can't stand them. So the only
Awkwafina.
The only person or performance that I really liked was Mark Ruffalo. And I thought he did a phenomenal job at being a manic, clear genius down on his luck. Part of my favorite part of this movie was when he's listening to the demos. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, nope, toss out the window.
That was stuck
in something scene. Good.
I was like, that's so true. So I'm glad he at least said that, because I was like, this is Alec. If there was an Alec in this scene, I was like, that's so him.
I do this at work to people all the time. It's like 3 seconds. Oh, out the window.
I just love the one where he's like getting into it at first. He's like, okay, yeah, we got some. Oh, until you started singing. Oh, shit. Yeah, I love that. I wonder how many demo tapes get thrown out windows as they're driving down the street.
Oh, I hope it's so many.
Yeah. Yeah, though I doubt they're submitted that way anymore, like in tapes and CDs. They're all.
I say that James Corden did a pretty good job in this movie.
I just hate him, and I don't have a reason.
The scene that I always remember with him is when he was playing whatever song, and he like is in his own world, his feelings, and then he looks out and no one's paying attention. I was like, oh damn, that's probably what like every street performer feels like everywhere. And then I was like, oh,
I just love when they're doing the song to Adam Levine's character, and again, he's in his own fucking thing, and he pulls out the kazoo and she like looks over like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, let him go. That was starting to be a good solo. I'm down. Yeah, he was fun. That, and then I like the part when they're in the celebration, like the post launch or post recording, and he's like, I dare you, I defy you to not dance to this song or whatever. Yeah. And then I love the bass player. Like, he's so much fun throughout this movie once he gets introduced, but he's sitting there and he's like, you know you want to. And he's just like, yeah, I really do. And then he starts dancing. And I think that's one of my favorite parts too, is that it nothing feels unrealistic or too out of reality's reach. Like, I could see, regardless of the situation of we're recording an album or whatever it is, whatever passion my friends and I have, like, I could see us being like, let's do this wild ass idea. I'll pay some kids and cigarettes to make it work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, how do we make this thing work? And then we go do it, and then we celebrate, and we party, and we just do silly things. And like, so it's so relatable to me, the situation, even though it's so outside of anything that I would ever be involved in, I still don't see it as I don't get it. It's like, I, regardless of the backdrop or the reason for everyone coming together, like, I can see how that interaction would work, and it's very relatable. So I love,
yeah, like that they did violin and cello players dirty, though. You basically just have to be like a white nerd, and that's all. That's all you can be. I was like, damn, dude, like, oh, that made me laugh. That was funny. Or that piano, the piano player was playing for little ballet kids. Yeah. And he got that. He's like,
I'm out.
I quit. Like, all right, done.
Yeah.
It was all. Yeah, I mean, I really like this movie.
Yeah,
it was really enjoyable.
I think it just tells a really good story, and I like.
Oh, I the fact one that
they're all going through stuff.
One thing I liked that was interesting is this movie did kind of two different perspectives, the way we were introduced to James Corden's plan. And I thought that was a unique way of kind of using that moment and then doing the two separate sides to culminate to that again. But it told us so much more about what we needed to have that base level of understanding for the rest of the movie. And I thought that was a great cinematic choice. I mean, it doesn't always work, but I quite enjoyed it because I feel like I got to know both sides better than I would have if they did like a teeny flashback here and there. It helped me appreciate both sides. It had a really strong payoff for the end.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to talk about the beginning. I normally don't like that repetitive, but I liked this version of it because I like the way that the characters are introduced. Like, Greta has no desire, but her overzealous kind of a dick friend was like, no, you're doing this, and makes her get up. Nobody's paying attention, so she's not happy about the performance. But then you have Mark Ruffalo's character that you only see in that first initial version of it, standing up randomly in the crowd with that look. And there's a movie, I don't know what the movie I'm thinking of. There's a movie near the end of the movie where it goes into slow-mo, and the character that they're close-upping, his face is like wide-eyed, and he's like, yeah, like that's what I think of when I see Mark Ruffalo's character in this. Like, he just has this wide-eyed look like, this is amazing. And then it cuts and we get both sides of how they got there. But I really, yeah, I like that part of it just because
they did a good job with
production.
They did that good job with, because he was clearly super drunk, like you said, like most of his good thing, but all the music that came and he was piecing it together. It's like, then I could really appreciate it. I was like, oh, he looks super stupid doing this, but you now know like what's going on in his brain.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I like that part too. Like the hidden musicians, like when the instruments start playing themselves, and like he's doing the arrangement of this song while she's playing it live in a very, I don't want to be doing this way, but he still hears and sees the vision of it. It's very clever. And then I loved his partner too. Like, I always want to call him Most Deaf, but he doesn't call himself that much that anymore. So Yasiin Bey, like his partner at the record label, like, he's just so aloof and matter of fact, like as he's ripping, like pulling his Jerry Maguire, like, this isn't Jerry Maguire, Dan. He's pulling the painting off the wall and the fucking alarm goes off. Like, there was enough levity, like serious, like goofy comedy in this movie that it kept me laughing. Things that shouldn't be funny, but they're things that we laugh at in real life. You're like, what a fucking idiot. But you like feel for him at the same time. Yeah, I like that.
Alec, did you like how this movie ended? Or leading up to the ending?
Yeah. I think it, you know, like JJ kind of said earlier, it fits the point of begin again. Everybody has that beginning. So I thought that was cool. I was kind of sitting there going, why on earth didn't you just do it for $2? Why'd you still stick with
like
$1?
Yeah.
Like, especially if you've got CeeLo Green, he's going to tweet about it.
Yeah. What was the line there? Because Ruffalo, right before he hits it, like, sure, it's not a $2 album.
Yeah. Whatever. Something like that. I was like, yeah, it's $2 album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you promised, you know, those nerds that they were going to get a cut on the back end. And
it's not much of a back end.
Not much cut there. Even if you sold a million of, like, you're only making $1 million pre-tax. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
But I did, like, one of my favorite scenes aside from, you know, Mark Ruffalo throwing demo tracks out the window of his Jaguar was the negotiations at the end where Greta's like, well, why do you get so much and I get so little? And they go through all this like, well, I recorded it. I funded it. I did A, B, C, D, and E. Why do I need you again? I really enjoyed that part.
Yeah. Well, I love that she waited till she got Dan his job back. And then she shit on him. And then as they're walking out, like, he's all excited. He's like, man, you really stuck it to him on that deal. And then he's like, you're going to get a deal. And I think that payoff for me is really cool because it's not – it fits the character. It's not outlandish. They don't go out and get fucking a party or throws it. They're just like, you did it. They're going to offer you a deal. Like, you stuck to your guns. You made it work. Thank you for letting me be part of it. I just really like how low-key – most of this movie is too. Like, there's not anything that's wild or outrageous. They have a little house party in that shitty little apartment and that's it. You know what I mean? And so I like that piece of it. But I like the ending more than anything. Like, the very, very end when she gives in, I'm going to go watch this song. And then you see her recognize something that I think a lot of people in real life don't, which I really love that they give that visual of, you don't have to go back to the toxic relationship that is probably going to end the same way that it ended this last time that you're just now starting to get over, but you find yourself pulled back into an unhealthy, not working relationship. But I love that she recognizes it because of the song. Like, she asks him, don't play it that way. And he starts off playing it the way that she wants him to in the ballad style, but then he can't help himself. Just like he told her, you should see people, the energy, they love it. And then he just can't help it. They start cheering and whatnot. And he wants her to come up on stage. And then he can't help but go into it. And you see her realize he's never going to change. He seems like he did, but he's not going to. And the moment that Ruffalo was talking to her about, where he's like, he was a rock star before he even knew he was a rock star. And he was craving that lifestyle. I was like, what a great payoff to that line and to that situation. And then I love that she's smart enough to recognize it and just move on.
Yeah. This movie has a great ending. I only asked to just get you guys' perspectives, but it again does not the cliche, like, oh, they got back together. Like, yay, we're happy. Like, no, they're beginning again. It's separate. And yeah, really well done.
Well, and as much as he doesn't deserve it, it's good for Adam Levine's character too, because he can be the sad, lonely rock star that he's going to end up being the whole time anyway. So, yeah, just the whole theme. I like it. It's good stuff. It's weird. Alex so quiet. It's always funny when there's, like, no reasonable reason for him to not like or like a movie. Yep, I get it.
I got nothing.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, the last thing, and you kind of touched on it, Mattson, is the actual idea of the album. Like, it's so – here's the thing. I love the idea. I don't know that I could enjoy it because, again, my easily distracted ass, like, I think I would hear the
background noise. JJ, we can do one from your basement with the Rice Rockets.
God. The Fast and Furious house across the street. Need a good – beatbox style bass line, here it comes, just wait for it. The white lawnmowers and shit. Yeah, I just don't know that I could enjoy it. Like, I would be like, fucking car horn. Why is this guy yelling at him across the way?
I think you do that. You do what they did, like, in real life. You do it, have it for a week, and then you release your studio of the same, and then I think it works, because then it's like, yeah, like, I'm Chicago, I'm LA, whatever it is, and I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah. And I did like that conversation where, like, we should go into Europe and, like, the Paris tapes or the Prague sessions. I was like, I want to do it just to come up with the cool fucking names. Like,
because there's some people that, like, the artists do this. They do, like, their live album of, like, some huge concert, and the song is slightly different, and some areas more real than the studio. So there's there's reasons for it, but you're right. Like pure listening when you want to like really experience about their height. Yeah. It's probably not the right way, but I think I'm honestly surprised like more bands haven't done something that to get yourself out there and to endear your fans in a way that isn't, because these days it's just, it kind of feels like a track comes out and they're just like, oh, I like this. But then you don't know anything. There's no connection beyond that.
Yeah. I don't know that you could pull it off in today's world. Just the power of social media, like somebody show up to like record something. And if they weren't like this person, just an independent, no name at that time, like, I don't think you could pull it off. Like, I think you'd have a crowd. You might as well just do a fucking live show at that point. Cause
yeah. Like, I mean, imagine like Taylor Swift for the moment someone like it's over, like it's yeah.
Yeah. It's somebody end up dead in the subway, run over by a train. Cause they trying to fit everybody in the fucking subway to listen to her. Yeah. Though there have been bands, just trying to think, there was a pretty famous singer who loaded up and they did a like mini impromptu, no announcement concert, like show, like set, I guess is probably the more accurate term, in the subway. And then like people filmed it. Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
At the same time, like imagine a band that was like, what if Metallica just decided, you know what, we're going to do 5 shows. We're just going to show up and start doing it. Like how cool would you feel when like, you know, there's gonna be a ton of people that just stay. Yeah. Like, talk about like an like ego stroking right there. I guess if you're ever down in your luck as a band, and just go do that. And I guess maybe if you then you'll find out, do people really care, or maybe you should be done.
yeah. Well, there's bands that make like pop up concerts are their thing. Like that's what they. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was a whole movie. Nick and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. Might be another next time Hidden Gems, but Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
I've never actually seen it.
Like the whole thing centers around these people meeting because and spending the night this evening, like wandering the streets of New York, I think it is, because they're trying to find this pop-up concert by this band that only does pop-up concerts. Mm. And so it's all rumor mill shit. And so they're going to these different locations trying to find this band. Really interesting. But yeah, like, I think there's some underground music trends like that that do happen. It's just none of it ever gets mainstream, but yeah, I think it's a clever idea for the song. Made for a decent movie here. How about that? At least for Alec, decent. For the rest of us, it's really good. All right, we rate this thing.
Let's do it.
Okay, this is mine. I'll go first. I'm going to give it a 5. Look, I'm not normally a big independent film. I'm not normally a big trying to teach me a lesson film, but I think this movie is so good and it tells a story in such a good, clean way that intrigues me to all the characters that show up on the screen. Even the ones I don't like I could watch more of because there's a reason for them being in the movie. And I think that's something that a lot of movies miss. Like there's not random shit that happens and I'm like, why am I watching this? There's every piece of this movie is very well written and planned, in my opinion, and it holds my attention and it adds to the overall narrative and story and character building. I just think from a writing and an execution perspective, we've been talking a lot about that lately. It's good writing or it's good acting, but the execution wasn't there, or vice versa. This one brings it all together for me, and I just think I have no fault with this movie outside of bitching about CeeLo Green and Adam Levine. Like that's literally it. And those are only because it's a personal preference that, like Alec, I don't really like them very much, and I don't think they need to be in this movie, though I understand why. So for me, it's a 5. I will definitely watch this movie again. I own it 2 different ways, so I will watch this whenever I feel like watching a feel-good shit show of a bunch of people coming together to make me feel good movie. So there it is. All right, Alec, you go.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so this was in my opinion the least fun movie to watch this month. That being said, I think I'm gonna give it a 3. I think a 3. I will never watch this movie again. But it's not that it's a bad movie, it's just that it's not my cup of tea, and so I just won't watch it again. But I mean, Mark Ruffalo's performance still sticks out to me as being incredible. And, you know, it's hard for me to think of something that he's been in that's been mediocre. He always does such a really good job. But I almost would prefer if this was just him. You could almost kick everybody else out and just have Mark Ruffalo. But yeah, 3 for me. I won't ever watch it again, but it's good.
Nice. All right, Mattson, bring it home.
Good movies for Alec are 3s. Let's just remember that. This is a 5. It's a great movie. We'll absolutely watch this again. I've already said everything. I'm not going to repeat myself. Go watch this movie. I think the last thing I'll say is on this podcast, we watch a lot of things that I would tell you all. We try to save yourself the time, laugh at us as we try to review a train wreck of a show. It's not often I think I tell a listening audience, do take the time to watch this movie. This is a hidden gem. This is not something like, it's like exactly what Jay just said about Casey. Came across it. She took a chance. She hit watch now. She rented it for $4 or whatever. Watch this movie. I think I watched this on Amazon. I know you can rent it on Amazon. It's probably a couple other places like Vudu or something. Spend the $4, rent the damn movie, watch it by yourself, watch it with your significant other, whatever it is. It's a great movie. And if you're skittish because it says rated R, I think it's just for swear words. Yeah, that's it. And it doesn't detract off. That's your only holdup. Just watch the movie. It's so good. Promise you the payoff's there. You will absolutely enjoy it. I don't tell you guys to do that very much. Go watch the movie.
I agree. Yeah. CeeLo, fuck it. I'll pay for it. All right. Well, that was fun. I think Hidden Gems has been a fun month. We tortured Alec. We tortured Mattson. We tortured JJ. Across the board, we've had some torturous shit this month, even though all the movies from a certain point of view have been pretty good. Yeah.
Not Rubber. There's
Rubber is a good movie. Rubber is a good movie, Mattson.
Alec likes Rubber.
If we took a poll of who watches this podcast and who likes Rubber, it's going to be a very nice scatter plot.
That's probably true.
I would venture
to say Charles probably likes Rubber.
Charles likes cocaine and, like, I don't know what else I was going to say there. Stuff.
That was random, but I like it. Alec, tell everybody where they can find us when they're not listening to our ridiculousness.
Sounds good, JJ. Well, March is in the books. 4 movies, 4 hidden or not so hidden gems, and a whole lot of Mattson bitching. Wins on all counts, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for tuning in to our review of Begin Again, and thanks to our lovely patrons, Challenge Accepted, Richard, and Max Bialystock. I'm going to start doing that in every single way imaginable. It's going to be fun. You guys are all amazing. Check us out every week when we drop a new episode, and we have some good movies coming up. A whole month of horror. It's going to be so fun. Can't wait. So go ahead and hit the subscriber button and click that bell to get notified when we post. With that, okay, get back to our very own Wizard of WAP, the Mauling Monarch, a JJ. Myself, but... I have a bit, but now I'm having that like seller's or buyer's remorse. Yeah, because I watched Barbarian the other night and fuck, I'm screwed.
I have not started my watching tour of these movies yet. I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm stoked. I also rewatched Barbarian recently. I'm looking forward to April. It's going to be a fun month for me. These poor bastards are going to hate it, but I love it. So yeah, with that, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Cinemagic.